Petersfield's Shine Radio.
Hello, I'm Julie Butler.
And I'm Blake Swell.
And we're Pitchside this week.
Because it's all about rugby in this week's
Peapod.
If you love Petersfield,
I love the square,
the hangers,
the open air swimming pool,
lots of fun shops,
then the Peapod loves you.
It's just a nice town.
Everything Petersfield is in the Peapod with Claire Venice and Geoff Lacey.
Thank you for joining us in the Peapod. This week we're at the Petersfield Rugby Club, arguably the beating heart of the sporting community in Petersfield.
Yeah, and we're going to be finding out all about what the club does. They're the heart of the community, they're part of a family, and we're going to find out what actually makes the rugby club tick.
Established in 1927, we'll be talking to two of the coaches, the chairman, and one of the most senior players here.
The P stands for Petersfield.
It's like the best town ever.
The Peapod.
Julie, we've been allowed back on the Peapod.
We have. I just losing my papers across the floor there.
We're outside. It's nice. We've got a beautiful view of the pitch that has been worked on hard to make sure it's in, well, match-ready condition for the players this afternoon.
And Blake, it's not raining at the moment. We haven't brought the sunshine with us, but there is blue sky.
There's certainly elements of blue sky, yeah. Now, you have links to this rugby club, don't you?
I do, yeah. I mean, I've got... she's not going to thank me for saying this, but my 38-year-old daughter plays rugby. It's actually her last season. She doesn't play at Petersfield anymore. But she started her career here at the age of 16. And, yeah, she did really well with them. She was part of the first ladies team. And she has got to the dizzy heights of playing for county. She actually had a trial, actually, for England.
Wow.
She made the last 50, actually. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So.
And you've been down here interviewing the players on a recent match, haven't you?
Their very first fixture of the season, I came down and met some really interesting people, got their views, and also I've been down since then to actually talk to the girls' team as well and the girls' coach.
Yeah.
So there's a huge amount going on down here.
And as we'll find out in this week's Peapod, a really close-knit community as well, which is great.
Yeah.
Really well run.
Yeah. So what's your sport then? Is it football or is it rugby?
None of the above.
None of the above. Oh, okay.
I'm not an impact sport sort of person. The most impact sport I'll do is probably skiing. Yeah,
I have to say, I take my hat off to anybody who plays rugby. I've watched many from the sideline, and I don't think I'd want to be tackled like they are.
I don't mind so much during the summer playing this sport, but in the winter, I just dreaded it at school. It was horrible going out there in the freezing cold, and having not played football for years, and then I played it again on a stag do in October, and I managed to rupture my ACL, so I've got to have surgery
this
year.
I forgot about that. Yeah.
I don't think it wants me.
No.
I'm happy to talk about it. I love coming here. I like seeing the community, and certainly the spirit of particularly coming to watch live sports or any live event I really like watching, but yeah.
There's nothing like grassroots sport, is there?
No.
No.
Indeed.
So, shall we see what the professionals have got to tell us?
Absolutely. We would love to hear from you. So if you have a story you'd like us to cover or just like to say hi, please call or WhatsApp us on 01730 555 500, or send an email to team@shineradio.uk.
Coming up, we're going to find out about what happens at Petersfield Rugby Club. We're going to be speaking to some coaches, the chairman, and probably one of the oldest people that actually played here. So, I'm with Woody, and Woody, you're looking like you're not going to play another game of rugby, but you've been here for a long, long time, haven't you? You've been playing for a long time.
Yes, indeed. I started my career in rugby here at Petersfield, and there's been some intervening years where I've not followed them, only from a distance, and recently moved back into the area and find that I'm back to my roots, my rugby roots, indeed.
Right.
And what age did you start playing?
Oh, well, I started at school. It was one of those things that it wasn't in the mainstream education, but we had an Irish schoolmaster who had played quite a bit of rugby when he was a youngster, and so he brought it to the school I was at. And I just enjoyed it so much that I had no thought for other sports particularly.
Yeah.
Rugby's a tough old game though, isn't it?
Well, I think it's one of those games that there's a bit of a there's a misunderstanding in many ways, because most sports have rules, and rules are set in stone. They are to be obeyed. If you break the rules, then you're penalised. Rugby has laws, and laws have an interpretation. So we live and die by the referee's interpretation of the laws on the day, which of course means that in many cases that the game is stalled a bit more these days, whereby the changing laws, they're always being tinkered with, which gives challenges to the coaches. The coaches have to find ways to adapt and get their players to play within the new laws. Mm. In fact, it's quite hard to keep up. And I'm sure for the layman, they would really appreciate when they watch rugby on the television to have a few guidance notes from the commentators as to what's happening in the game.
And what position did you play, or what did you play?
I played in the pack. I played number 8, mostly.
An important role then?
I think it is. It's one of those positions that is what I call the backbone of the side. Yeah. So you've got the hooker, number 2, then you've got number 8, number 9, the scrum half, number 10 and number 15. And these are the guys that I think control the game.
So you say you've come back into the area. So did you play for another team as well?
Yes, I did. I played up in London for a few seasons, and then I had some luck to be invited to go and play over in France. So I had 4 seasons in the French top league.
Is that different to what we play in the UK? Are they completely
well, back in those days, of course, it was very much the French were famed for their running rugby and the basketball style that they played, and of course I was swept up in that, and it was very enjoyable. But coming back to the UK, I was in my mid-30s, and so I took my retirement then, and now I'm a sideline sniper. Somebody watches from the sideline.
So what's brought you back to Petersfield? What do you love about the area and indeed the rugby club?
Well, the interesting thing is that it's a club with ambition,
right.
And it's a club that's extremely well run. And when you've come, as I have, from a long time in various clubs, you do notice that they are well organised. They have an eye on player welfare, family welfare. Mm. Generally speaking, an exceptional club, in my opinion.
Yeah,
and it's one big family here, isn't it?
It is indeed, and that's the nice thing about it. It's, you know, the players are mostly from the local area, which is a bit of a bonus, of course, and everybody seems to pitch in and have a wonderful time when they're here.
Yeah.
Wow.
We've had a wonderful time speaking to you.
Yeah.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much for coming on the Peapod.
It's a pleasure. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
The P stands for Petersfield.
I think it's an amazing place to live.
The Peapod.
So, I'm with Stuart Barden. You're the chairman, aren't you, Stuart, of the rugby club?
For my sins, yes.
I've known you for many years, and I know the rugby club really well, and I know what direction and drive that you push this club into. So, give me a little bit background of what the rugby club here is all about and what it means to you.
Good question. I was brought here as a 13-year-old by my sports teacher from Horndene School. For me, I think rugby's not just a game, it's a way of life. I think you meet your friends, you make lifelong friends, lifelong relationships through the rugby club. And I think Petersfield is all about that. It's all about family, it's all about people. We have good times, we have bad times on the pitch, but I think off the pitch we're a very special club in terms of welcoming and people here, is that sort of stuff. So it's a great place to be, and I think for me, trying to set the standard of where to be in Petersfield.
Do you think as that young 13-year-old it gave you what it meant to be part of a team and the discipline from the coach that helps you a lot?
I think so. I think the one thing about rugby is which I think is about life is like a life's not an individual game. You can't do it all on your own. And I think having a team around you helps massively. And I think rugby sort of gives you that from the moment you start in terms of support, emotional and physical, this sort of stuff. I think it's an all-round thing. And I think, yeah, very much so. Yeah. Teams win games.
Also, I have to say, one thing I know about this club is you don't shout very much, but you do an awful lot to raise money for charity. And you don't talk about that very often, do you?
I think one of the big things of this club is about community. And we've been taken on board to raise money for local charities, particularly the Rosemary Foundation. Over the course of the last 11 years since I've been chairman, we've raised something like £114,000 for other charities, the Rosemary Foundation being the biggest contributor. We're doing the same thing again this year. We host the Rugby Against Cancer Day during the summer, which is a great day here. And yeah, we have the facility to do it. We have the mental capacity to do it. We have the community to do it. So something we do.
And you spoke about first coming here as a 13-year-old. When did that later become this role that you're in today now, being the chairperson?
Good question. So I played here. I was lucky enough to be captain here in my 20s. I then had a couple of children who went through from the six to Colts. So I found myself coaching as well. I've done pretty much every role here, I think, from clubhouse manager to social chairman to I was youth chairman for a few years, and I think this is my 11th year as chairman here. So, I have mug written across my forehead. There's no two ways about it.
I'm just watching over the fields there. They're trying desperately to get the pitch ready for quite a big match today, isn't it?
So, yeah, we're having an outstanding season on virtually all levels. Our first team are thrashing people. We've been at the top of the league. And today we play Havant, who's the only team we've drawn with this season. So we're unbeaten. Today's win, I think we need basically two wins to see us crowned as league champions, which is hopefully we can start today. I think also for me personally is our youth section has gone over 500 kids for the first time ever. And I think that's testament to the amount of volunteers we have and mums and dads who coach and manage and that sort of stuff. And it's fantastic for a town the size of Petersfield, having a bigger youth section than Basingstoke and Portsmouth. And it's I think it's testament to the people, I say, and the community of the area. So but we need to get today's game on. It's our farmer's lunch today. We have 126 sitting down. It's Tweed Central, I can assure you, and it's going to get quite messy.
Oh my God.
As it does every year.
So. And you touched on your children there. Your son is here today. Tell us how he's got involved in the club.
So my son James played here from six through the Colts. He was a TPS boy, for a year. He's gone off to university, and Christmas before last, he said, "Dad, I'm thinking about staying up in Liverpool and getting a job." And I thought, "Oh, that's great! I don't have to pay for you another year. That's fantastic." And then he came back at Easter and said, "Actually, I'm thinking about doing a master's." So I said, "Oh, that's nice. So I've got to pay for you for another year." So the deal was, I'd pay for him to do his master's if he did the social media for the club.
Right.
And to be fair, and his head's big enough as it is, but he's done a fantastic job in actually pushing our club for the social media front. I think it really has been amongst the best clubs, certainly in our county, in terms of the social media content he's been putting out. It's been fantastic. I think the reward we've had is raised profile for the club throughout, and I think it leads to more numbers playing rugby, which is why we're here in the first place.
Yeah.
It's not just about the blokes, is it?
No, oh God, no. It's not just about the blokes. And one of the things we're trying to focus on this year and going forward is involving the girls. We used to have a big girls set up here. It fell away. It fell away nationally at the same time as well. We're trying to pick it up now. We've got a great bunch of girls playing at 12, 14 and 16. It's just a case, as I see it, it's the hard yards years. You get a group of people, and then one or two drop out for various reasons, and then you have to start again and this sort of thing. But it's coming together. This year we've joined up with US Portsmouth, who are in a similar sort of situation to us, not quite enough players for a team. So it's been great having numbers for training, and it's been great the girls going away to play games combined with US Portsmouth. So hopefully that's going to gel in the future, and we can add more numbers to that.
And as you said, you've been from a player at the club to various or different roles throughout the club, and now in your 11th, 12th year being the chairman, you must be enjoying it, I assume. What do you really enjoy about it?
I've become an alcoholic.
I was actually waiting for him to say something like that.
No, I think to be fair, for me personally, is we punch massive numbers, massive numbers on people here. We have Steve's Gladiator classes here, and like for me, we put this facility in. You come down here, you see people training, whether they're playing rugby or they're here for physical exercise all the time, and that's what it's about for me personally. It's about having a facility that the community is proud of, the community wants to be at, be involved in sport. And I think for me, and winning your game helps massively. Yeah. We've turned over a couple of teams at Big Style this year, but when I was playing, they wouldn't give us a game because we were below their level, shall we say. So I've enjoyed those moments, let me tell you. But no, I think for me, it's being here and seeing the community use the facility and be here. That's what it's all about.
That's a satisfaction.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Totally.
Yeah. And it's about family. And also it's about mental health as well, isn't it?
Absolutely. I think one of the things we've done here, which we've done, I think probably one of the first clubs to do it, is we have Mind Ambassadors. So the Mind charity, we raise a bit of money for them. And B, we've got ambassadors here, basically. I say, life's not easy, so it's a team game. So we have people here who've done some training, not to actually advise on what should be doing, more signposting. So kids and adults with issues come along and say, life's not so good, what do you think? And then we effectively introduce them to the things that Mind can bring from a charity point of view and from a mental health point of view, which I think physical exercise makes you stronger mentally as well. But when it's not going so well, then I think the mental health attitude from what we're trying to do, it's not just about the physical, it's about the mental health as well.
Yeah. That's great. Thank you so much, Stuart. Thank you for your time.
No worries. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Take care.
Enjoy your meal.
The Peapod Events Guide. What's on in the Petersphere?
Petersfield Museum is a three-week short course in novel writing. The course costs £60 and can be booked via their website. Friday the 15th of March at Gallery No. 30 is live jazz music with Jack Boyd as he continues his UK tour. From the 15th to the 23rd of March is the Petersfield Music Festival. It is both an annual celebration of music and a musical charity which supports and rewards creative talent throughout the year. With concerts in the Festival Hall and St Peter's Church providing a showcase for local music talent, young and upcoming performers, as well as internationally acclaimed artists. And on Tuesday the 26th of March at Petersfield Festival Hall is the new Savoy Cinema's showing of the film Fisherman's Friends, starting at 2:30 p.m. and tickets are £5. And you can see full details of many more events like these in our online events guide. It's at shineradio.uk.
If you're running an event, get it in the guide at shineradio.uk.
I'm at the Queen's Head in Sheet with Simon Lawrence, who's the director of Maddie's Mark. Lovely to see you again, Simon.
Hello, Anne. Thank you so much for this.
We were here last year, but in the sunshine, I think. Weather's not so kind to us today, so we've taken cover.
It is pouring with rain, but I have to say the Queen's Head are being extremely hospitable.
So we've got lots to talk about since last year, but first of all, do you want to just give us a quick overview on what is Maddie's Mark, this wonderful charity, and just kind of the background to, you know, what the work is and how it's all come about?
Well, Maddie's Mark is all about supporting women's rugby. We're going into various schools in the southwest and in London, and we're looking to go into more local areas as well. We are doing it by introducing rugby to a younger generation of girls, and also trying to provide mental health so that the two areas of physical and mental health combine into a really wonderful programme.
And also, this is a very special time because it's 2 years since Maddie passed, and I do know that there's a really big push at the moment for Maddie's March as well, which, do you want to tell us a little bit about that?
Well, this is something which came from one of Maddie's, well, we call her rugby mum because she introduced her to the rugby, but also she was her team captain. And her name is Hazel, and she came up with this wonderful, wonderful idea of Maddie's March, which is whether you want to organise cakes or whether you want to run or swim, all the activities, because it's 104 weeks since Maddie died in March, on March 25th. And so we're just trying to reclaim it. And it's been amazing so far. We've got some people who are doing sit-ups. We've got burpees. We've got...
And it's 104 of everything, isn't it?
Absolutely. That's the number. 104 of everything. Thank you.
Which is quite a lot because... I think that 104 burpees every day might be quite challenging for me, but there's people doing 104 all sorts, aren't there? I mean, I've seen kilometres.
Yes, some people are running 104 kilometres in the month.
Wow.
There are two madmen who are doing 104 kilometres in under 24 hours.
That's tough.
That is big. Those are friends of Maddie from churches who have committed to doing it, and we are just in awe of what they're going to try and do.
And I think what really touches me when I see everything on your Facebook page in particular is that I see so many of her friends are doing this for her, and it really touches me. I mean, it must be... just amazing for you to see how many people are reaching out to you regularly and doing things small and big.
Well, we're slightly awestruck. She had such an effect on so many people, and so many people want to help us to try and achieve something for Maddie's Mark. And we are... oh, just... It's a wonderful thing. It's a wonderful, wonderful thing to see and be part of.
And as we were saying earlier... a year's passed since we last chatted, or just under a year, I think, and so much has happened. I'm just so proud of you guys. Tell us just some of your main things. I mean, some of them have been local in the Petersfield area, but of course you're also doing things. Bristol seems to be a place you're doing a lot in, and London. But
well, fundraising wise, it's been rather wonderful to see, because we've had such a team helping us out. We've had. For example, we did the swim at churches, which the whole team swam, well, the whole width of the English Channel and then came back again.
Which I don't think they meant to, did they? I think they just kept going.
We saw some competitive swimming going on. Yes, competitive swimming going on, which was quite funny. I did my, I did my 2 miles and that was it. But there was others who went and did 3, 4, and 5 miles, which was remarkable. But then there was also the quiz, where 200 people came out for us.
Fantastic.
Oh, really was. And we had a wonderful quiz master called Kit, who just did an amazing job just to bring people along. There was all the local shops, which gave very generously for our raffle.
Oh, wow.
So that was fantastic as well. So that sort of support is really, really typical of Petersfield. We did a lunch at Petersfield Rugby Club, organised by Stuart Barden, and they were so generous and they were so helpful. They were so kind as well, which is really... it does strike me as being part of the rugby community, that there is so much generosity out there and so much good feeling towards us. It's wonderful.
And that's nationally as well, isn't it, I think? I mean, obviously, Petersfield's doing an amazing job, but again, nationally, the whole rugby world has got behind you on this.
Well, we're really seeing it now with... we did an event at Twickenham for the Red Roses game against France last year, and we're continuing with that.
Hear it here first.
Oh, absolutely, yes. Well, we've got... well, we've not only doing the Red Roses game at Ashton Gate in Bristol, but we're also doing it at Twickenham. So we're getting a group of volunteers for both games, and it's... you know, it's just a wonderful event to be able just to show people that the women's game is really thriving. And we're a very, very small part of helping it along.
But, I mean, what an achievement. You know, there must be lots and lots and lots of charities that want to be the bucket that is shaked at Twickenham on such a big game. And the fact that Maddie's Mark has been picked as a charity is all about, you know, what the charity is doing. You know, tell us a little bit more about, you know, what the charity's work has been, because as it's growing, because it's such a young charity still.
Well, we are. We started in August 22, and here we are in March 24. So we've done partnerships with Bristol Bears, with Exeter Chiefs, with Bath Rugby. Then we're going up into the Quins, Harlequins and Saracens, and then Wasps. And it's all about helping fund school programs, not only for physical health and rugby skills, but also for mental health. It's absolutely a key part of the rugby community values, of teamwork, of coming together, of being part of that community, so that you find your tribe, you find the people who are maybe not like you, but are always going to support you, are always going to care for you. Women's rugby is an amazingly diverse game, and we're just so keen to get as many people, as many girls, into the sport as we possibly can.
That's absolutely fantastic. And another way that Maddie's Mark's grown as well is, I know that you've been doing a lot of work for sepsis awareness.
That's more personally for Karen and myself because, well, you know that Maddie was let down very badly. Actually, last year we had the inquest, and so that was a very, very tough time for us. Mm. But do you know, there's small glimmers of hope. For example, we've done some work with the hospital involved so that we put a human face to their training and for their patient deterioration program so that we can maybe have some positive effect for other people so that no one else has to go through this appalling experience. Mm-hmm. We've been involved with sepsis charity and just talking about it. And do you know what? It's not an ego thing. It's just put a human face to it so you can see someone vital and young and fit that they should never go through something like that.
Absolutely. So tell us what next year is going to bring. I mean, obviously you've got...
Well,
lots of exciting plans, you know, nationally as well as locally. But, you know, what is it that we can look out for? What is it that we can help? You know, tell any big plans?
Well, we talked about Maddie's March.
What could our listeners could do some things for you as well?
Absolutely.
How could they find you? How could they reach out to you?
Well, that's through Maddie's Mark. Maddiesmark.com. You can see how to get set up. We've got 101 ideas going on there and a fundraising kit. So that's how you can get involved.
Actually, before I forget, Simon, there's something very exciting happening on the 24th of April, which is already on our event guide.
I have to say how amazingly fortunate we are. Nasser Hussain, who is an ex-England cricket captain and now a Sky commentator, has agreed to do an evening for us at Churches. Maddie was an old pupil of the school. And so Nasser Hussain's going to do the evening there, interviewed by a local cricket man, Clive. He's a man who's got very strong views of cricket, but also in general terms of leadership and how people can look to bring their team forward. I really believe that it would be a fantastic event for younger members because he's a guy who really pulled himself up by his bootstraps and made the very most of his talent. And I think he's one of the best cricket captains we've ever had. So it'll be wonderful to listen to what he has to say.
And what would you like to say? What message could you give to our listeners about Maddie's Mark?
Do you know what? We have had the most heartbreaking time. But it's so important to know that there are people out there, so many people out there, that want to care and support us, but also the charity. And that quote of, you're not far from the campfires of kind people, it's so relevant to us. So I want to finish off with saying just thank you so much to everyone for the huge support that we have received.
And I know that our listeners will keep supporting you and will be following you every step of the way. And we will definitely be catching up to hear everything later in the year. And good luck with Maddie's March. It's been an absolute pleasure, Simon.
Thank you, Anne.
We're joined now by Matt and Liam, who are coaches for Peterstall Rugby Club. Can we start with you, Matt? How long have you been a coach here? Or how long have you been involved with the club?
Yeah, actually fairly recent. So we joined, Liam and I both joined this at the start of this season. So back in, well, the season started in September, but we kicked off our pre-season in late June, early July in 23. Both of us having played at National League 2 rugby for sort of 10 to 12 years with Worthing Raiders. So we took an opportunity to come down and get involved with some coaching, and we sort of play a bit as well at the same time. So, but it's a fairly recent appointment for us at the club. So, yeah.
I think I've met one of you before. You came off the rugby pitch after a great win, and I think I managed to chase you down the field to get an interview out of you. And I know that you were just drawing breath at that time. It's been a good season for you, hasn't it? It's been a really good season for you.
You say drawing breath. It was about half an hour after the game, and I was still drawing breath, to be honest, which probably doesn't say much about my fitness levels. But it's been a great season. We came in with an idea of what we wanted to achieve this season, which we didn't probably share the extent of our ambitions with the whole playing squad. But we were quite clear as a coaching team and a management team, along with Stu, about what we wanted to achieve this year and what our ultimate goals are for this rugby club. And this season's just the first step in that journey, which I think we've pretty much nailed this season so far.
And what do you get out of coaching and managing rather than the playing side? What's different? What have you enjoyed or surprised yourself?
So I wanted to have a transition into coaching, because I've been involved in rugby since I was very young. I can't really see not having rugby in my life, so I was quite sort of clear that I wanted to transition into coaching whilst still feeling capable of playing at a level. I found it fairly difficult to manage at times, juggling the two. But it's a good group of lads here who really bought into what we're trying to do, which has made the first coaching gig a lot easier. I don't know if Matt's got any ideas on that.
Is that the same for you, Matt? Yeah.
Yeah, I think the mindset is definitely very different versus being a player and then being a coach. And I think for me, one of the most rewarding things is seeing the progress and development of some of the things that you can implement through the playing group. As Liam said, we didn't fully share what our ambitions were. We told the group that we wanted to be ambitious and challenge, but I think we far exceeded probably our own levels of expectation in terms of how the season's gone. But I think I get a huge amount of sense of pride from seeing how the club and the individuals within the club have progressed and developed their abilities and generally as people as well. So I find that really rewarding. And, we'll look to sort of build on that and evolve that from here on in as well.
Yeah. And how have you seen the sport evolve since you started playing to now coming up to being a coach?
I'm thankful I'm on my way out from playing, to be fair. Because if you look at the sort of rugby participation community evolving as they are now, it's a huge amount of emphasis on strength and conditioning, and the science behind that goes into it now, not just in senior rugby, but also from some of the age grade stuff and academies. And I think, you know, we've been privy to some of the future potential stars of players like Harlequin's Academy coming through when we were over at Worthing, and they're coming into us 18, 19 years old, but also 18, 19 stone and can move pretty quickly. They're quite agile and mobile. Back when I was 18, 19, I was struggling to keep any weight on, and, you know, getting in the gym was just a sort of bit part, really. So, but I think also at the same time, the spectacle has evolved as well. So, and I think the Rugby World Cup recently over in France was a great advert for rugby in terms of the skill ability, the capability, but also the physical attributes that players were able to sort of demonstrate for full 80 minutes. So the game has definitely evolved and changed for the better. But as an ageing player, I'm thankful I'm sort of transitioning more into the coaching side of things and playing, because it does hurt from time to time.
Have you got anything to add there, Leo?
Yeah, I think when I look back at my first sort of couple of senior seasons at level 2 and 3, the amount of analysis and detail work that we do at this level now is probably far and above what was done at that level, you know, perhaps 15, 16 years ago, you've got clubs like level 6 and 7 who are doing off-field analysis and a lot of detail work with some really great coaches around, which, like I say, was better than what we had at level 2 and 3 15, 16 years ago. So I definitely think that side of it is massively evolved. And the quality of rugby has followed that as well. I think the quality of rugby down the pyramid is just much better than it was, you know, 15 years ago.
Excellent. Guys, good luck for this afternoon. It looks like they've managed to get the pitch where it needs to be. There's not so much water on there. So hopefully, hoping for a win.
Thank you.
Yeah, brilliant. Yeah, thanks.
Thank you for coming on the Peapod. Thank you.
Thank you.
Cheers.
And so we've come to the end of this week's Peapod. Thank you for joining us.
And thank you also to all our guests and our editor, M. Sefton Smith, and, of course, the Shine Radio team.
And, of course, to everyone here for having us at Petersfield Rugby Club. So from Julie and I this week...
Bye!
This is Shine Radio, made in Petersfield by...
Andy.
Kirsty. Amy.
Dougie.
And you.
To join us, email team@shineradio.uk or call or WhatsApp us on 01730 555 500.
Join our team and make it shine at the radio station made by you.
You make it shine, Shine Radio.